Let's do this. The Cult of Hockey podcast by the faithful and for the faithful. I'm David Staples of the Edmonton Journal, and I'm here today with Bruce McCurdy. Hey, Bruce.
Hey, David. How are you doing today?
Good. Glad this run is over. We had like six, like just for us too. Like I know it must be impossible for the players, but man, 6 games in 9 days and all the trade stuff. Yeah. It's been a hectic time at the Cult of Hockey for both of us. Are you hanging in?
And for Kurt too. Yeah, it's been it's been busy times, and I'm not sad to have 2 days off between games at this moment.
No, me neither. Bruce, the Edmonton Oilers accelerated fast, kept their foot on the gas, and beat the Pittsburgh Penguins 4-0 in this game. The grade A shots just kept a coming. They just kept a coming, and they were 22-10. For Edmonton, with the subset of 5 alarm shots, 7-3 for Edmonton. Oh. This is our two good things, two bad things, and two numbers podcast, Bruce. One conundrum at the end. What is your good thing?
My good thing's got to be Calvin Pickard today. He came back into the game after struggling first period in Columbus the other night, and then he held the fort hard for the last 40 minutes to give his team a chance to fight back, which they couldn't quite. And then today he just kept the shutout streak going with 3 more periods, minus 1 minute and 16 seconds. Absolutely robbed out of getting credit for a shutout because he didn't play quite the entire game. Just 58 minutes and 44 seconds. I think they should make an exception in the rule that if the goalie makes all of the saves in a shutout, he should get the shutout. And Pickard did indeed make all 40 saves. Skinner just came in and stood around in the crease while Edmonton had a power play at the other end after the spotter sent Pickard to the room for a few minutes and right at the end of the second period. Anyway, Pickard, I thought he battled super hard in this game, and he had a lot of traffic and a lot of rebounds, which some of them were his own problem. Like, he's not the greatest rebound controller, but he took care of business in terms of stopping those rebounds, and I just liked his compete level in this game, which you don't often say about goalies in particular, but I thought he stood in there and he was sharp. I mean, there's that little play late in the game where the puck came across the Oilers zone and Matthias Ekholm lost his balance and landed on his rear end, and Pickard just came hustling out of the net and fired a puck up the ice, problem solved, before any Penguin had a chance to it. But more important by far were those saves in close range. So, some real significant scrambles in and around the crease, and he was able to keep the puck out. 40 saves. I mean, 40 saves and no goals against. That's a hell of a day's work. So good on you, Calvin Pickard. And lest anybody think that the Oilers are still looking elsewhere for a backup goalie. I mean, the trade deadline said one thing, but Jack Campbell waits in the wings, where he's been playing really well too. But Pickard is hanging on to his job by delivering solid net mining when he gets the chance.
Yeah, with Pickard, the words we use is often like active battling, scrambling. And it's because his rebound control, like, let's be honest here, his rebound control is fairly wobbly. And there was about 5 or 6 or 7 rebounds today, which could have been major trouble. They haven't been, generally speaking, with him so far. Yeah. Maybe just luck, but he's been there, and you know, he made a really solid save on Rust. There's a one-timer shot on the first, and then Pustinen from in close in the second got one, and then Letang. I think the official score said it hit the post, but Nurse blocked the first shot, and then I think Letang actually got it on net, and Pickard made a save with his pad. That's what I saw. In fact, that's what I saw. I'll stick with what I saw.
Yeah,
and that was a great Great save. And then Achari had a great, there was a screen shot from the point early in the third, and Noel Achari put it on net, the rebound, and he made a really nice save there. And then to preserve his shutout, Leon Draisaitl kind of went to sleep there on his check in with a minute left, and Bunting got a kind of a point blank shot, and he got that one too. So good for Calvin Pickard. Bruce, my player of the game was Darnell Nurse. He had his best game in some time. And I thought I gave him a 9. I thought it was an outstanding game.
Good.
He was shooting, passing, blocking shots. We're just talking about that sequence with Letang. Nurse did a great job. There was a pass across the front of the net. Very dangerous kind of pass. He got right over there and blocked the first shot, which was the most dangerous shot because that's when the goalie is yet to get him to position. And by the time the second shot came, Pickard was there to make the save. He scored. McDavid made a great play on the first goal, picking it off, obviously. And then on the third goal, which was a crucial goal, obviously, because Edmonton had a 2-0 lead and Pittsburgh was still in the game, but McDavid won some board battles, and then he made an absolutely fantastic pass to Nurse in the slot. But Nurse finished it. He drained that shot.
At home, yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful shot. He scored again after the end of a power play, with Corey Perry executing a total eclipse of the sun screen on the goalie, and Nurse wristed in a shot from outside. Another great goal. And then in the final seconds of the game, shorthanded, he and Connor Brown got a rush. And Brown actually was in excellent shooting position. And very, very unselfishly for a player with no goals, he passed it over to Nurse, which was the correct play because Nurse had a better shot and it was wide open for the pass. But Nurse didn't score on that one. They were kind of almost half-hearted on that rush. It was like final seconds of a game they're winning 4-0. Like, they weren't burning up the ice. But anyway, I just thought an outstanding game from Darnell. It's good to see. Kurt Levens wrote in his 9 Things column earlier today how Nurse hasn't been playing well. He hasn't been playing well through the month of February. He had one of his worst months in recent years in February when CeCe especially, they were struggling, to put it nicely. Rancid, to put it not nicely. And so they finally broke those two up, and they've put DeHarnay with Nurse. And that's working a bit better, I think. I think it is overall for the team. CC seems to be doing a bit better with Kulak, although I'd still like to see Troy Stetcher get in a game. Although CC, I think, led the defenseman with PK time. So this is a real conundrum, which is what we're going to get to at the end of the game. Anyway, great work by Darnell Nurse this game. Evan Bouchard had a unbelievable game making stretch passes. I don't know. I think people who hate Evan Bouchard don't notice this. He was just constantly ripping passes, sending his teammates in on for grade A shots. He made 5. I think there was about 5 of them in the game. At least he was in on 5 grade A shots at even strength. But Nurse was slightly better than Bouchard, which is saying something. He had a whale of a game. Bruce, your bad thing.
Took the early penalty, for brushing Bunting, who made a meal out of it. And then he just got better. Like, second period, he got way better. In third period, he got the 2 goals and came, almost got the natty hattie, as they said, at the end on the shorthanded 3-on-1 that ended the game, where Connor Brown unselfishly passed the puck to him, I'll note. My bad thing is Edmonton's power play, specifically Edmonton's first unit power play, which hasn't scored in 6 games now. I think Oilers had something like 17 chances in that time, 29, almost 30 minutes. The second unit scored 1 goal in Columbus after the first unit couldn't score 5-on-3 or 5-on-4. They've had 2 long 5-on-3s in that span. They just are not clicking. And when they do create a chance, they're just not able to bury it. And I don't know what has gone amiss with that deadly, devastating power play unit, but they are floundering.
What do you think is amiss?
Well, the last one in the third period, like they literally never passed the puck once to Draisaitl. He was open on the right wing boards the whole time, and Bouchard kept going back to the left, back to the left, back to the left. And I thought, change it up at some point. But that was just one specific power play. Leon is not burying his shots is a big part of it, because he's a big weapon on the PP.
Yeah.
He's been sailing over the net or wide or, you know, and give Tristan Jarry credit today. He made a few good saves, but Oilers got five shots on their 5.5 minutes of power play, and Pittsburgh had 14 shots on their 6 and change minutes on the power play. 14 shots. The Oilers are, there's too many times where they're pass, 30 or 40 times, and then they never get the shot because eventually someone fumbles the puck. I think a little more direct approach, you know, in the short run. And, you know, I guess you score goals on great plays, but sometimes, you know, start by shooting the darn puck, get them on that power in there, try and get screens and rebounds. You know, if the pretty plays aren't working, go for the.
They're not, Draisaitl's not finishing, but. From the left side, Nugent McDavid's territory, they're not that dangerous right now shooting the puck. And maybe they've got to have a focus on opening up, figuring out a way to open up that left side for shots and taking more shots from the left side, both McDavid and Nuge. And the other alternative, and I've talked about this before, is you switch with, you move Bouchard there. So you have two one-timer options, one on the right, one on the left, Draisaitl and Bouchard. And you have McDavid or Nugent Hopkins at the top with two options to pass there. And then the other option would be to pass, you'd have three, because you could either, if you're Nugent, you could pass to McDavid, Bush, or Draisaitl, and both Bush and Draisaitl would be in great shooting spots. I think that might be quite terrifying for the opposition. So that's just one idea. Bruce, there wasn't a lot bad in this game. I mean, we only counted 3-5 alarm shots against. Maybe on your review, you'll find a few more, but there wasn't. Pittsburgh was terrible, and they're just a team in disarray right now. So, but they did, in the second period, there was a letdown. The Oilers did have one letdown. It lasted about 10 minutes from about 7 minutes into the second till about 3 minutes left in the second. Mm-hmm. And, The Penguins had four even strength grade A shots in a row. The Oilers had nothing at that time. So that was a period where, you know, the Oilers have been having these letdowns in the second period. Yeah. The good news is that in the third period, Edmonton just dominated. There was just grade A shot after grade A shot for the Oilers in the third period. It was kind of if their idea was to go into that third period, shut down the Penguins. I mean, I think that's all they were trying to do, was shut them down. But the Penguins are such a terrible team that they can't stop you. Like when they're trying to score, when they're putting pressure on you to get, you know, they're taking chances. And they were just giving up grade A shot after grade A shot after grade A shot because Pittsburgh's so terrible. At least they have been in these two games against the Oilers most recently. They've just disintegrated, and they certainly did so in the third period. What's your number, Bruce?
Yeah. I had one. I'm going to go with Matthias Ekholm's just stat line from this game. One goal, one assist, 2 points, plus three, one penalty. He played 21 minutes, including 4:15 tops on the shorthanded unit, during which time Pittsburgh got a lot of shots, apparently, but they couldn't pump one in. Four shots on net, six attempts. Takeaway, a block shot. Like, he was involved in this game in a lot of different ways, and I thought he along with his partner Bouchard had a pretty solid game for the Oilers. They certainly had the best shot shares in a game where both teams had a ton of shots. Both teams hit 40 in this game, and during Ekholm's even strength minutes, it was 15-10 for Edmonton, which is pretty high event, but also the score was 3-0 for Edmonton. So that's what you like to see. And I just thought overall he was strong, and his, you know, his just right across the sheet, his stats show that this was a guy who, you know, played a key role in this game.
Yeah, he was really, I mean, he scored that goal, which was a wicked flyby screen by the Pittsburgh defenseman on Ekholm's goal, Ludvig. What a, the goalie must have been so angry.
Yeah.
I didn't watch it from the Pittsburgh perspective to see what the defenseman might have been thinking, why he would have done that kind of flyby screen. He must have been trying to rush to get to a player in the slot. But, oh, what a terrible play. Anyway, Ekholm was good. He and Bouchard were really good. They were a little high. You know, they both made mistakes. They always do. But that's
at least the D-man didn't serve a pizza to McDavid the way Letang did to open the game. My goodness, what a brutal start.
And he's a veteran, right? Like the veteran defenseman.
The veteranist of veterans in his 17th year in the NHL. He's just having one clanger after another this year. He's the guy that put it in his own net during a delayed penalty earlier in the year. And we mentioned last week when Oilers played Pittsburgh about how badly he'd played in Calgary, where he was like a direct major culprit on three of the four Calgary goals. And he just seems to have lost his mojo.
Two quick numbers, Bruce. The Oilers had maybe confirm this, just four hits this game.
Four hits.
And this has been fairly typical. That's a little low for them, but they've been getting under 10 hits in a number of games. I don't know if there were more hits than that, but there probably were. But nonetheless, Edmonton isn't playing a super physical style right now, Bruce. And you know what? I'm okay with that. As long as defensively they're taking the man, which they're doing. Mm-hmm. They had a really solid defensive game this game. And they have been recently I guess they've got six out of their last eight games they've won. In that stretch of games, they've been playing very solid defensive hockey, but they haven't been hitting. And I'm okay with it. It's not the playoffs. This is an older team. It's a veteran team. You do not want hitting is physical. It's hard. It hurts your body. So if they're laying off a little bit right now in this stretch of the season, it's not the worst idea in the world. In fact, maybe it's what a veteran team does in order to get ready for the playoffs. Could that be possible?
Well, six games in 191 hours, you know, like basically 8 days. 8 days ago at this time, they were just starting the Seattle game.
Yeah.
Right. And they played six games since then, including that Seattle game. And so you got to, I won't say shortcut, but you just can't go out and play bang the bodies every night like that. And that's not their style anyway. I think four hits is a little extreme. Darnell Nurse led the defenseman outright with one hit. Nobody else had any. And the entire line of Adam Henrique, Connor Brown, and Evander Kane, who I actually thought was pretty good in this game, each had one, and all the other forward lines had none. three entire lines with no hits.
There you go.
It's like bizarre.
All right.
That's what happens when you take Sam Carrick out of the lineup, you know.
There you go.
This is hitting.
Just a real quick, another number, Calvin Pickard, just to build on what you're saying about his good game. So he's played 14 games for the Oilers. Mm-hmm. He has 8 wins and 4 losses in those 14 games. And his save percentage now is .919. Wow. So for goalies who have played more than 10 games, he's probably now in the top 20 in the NHL, I'm guessing. Top 25. So by the top 20, I didn't check yet. Bruce, our conundrum. There's some decisions to be made with the new players. Carrick and Stetcher were both sitting out. What would you do? How would you handle, you got these two players, new players. How would you do it? Who would you be sitting out?
Well, yeah, rotation is the key. In the case of Troy Stetcher, he literally has not been on the ice with the Oilers yet. They had no morning skates because they had two basically morning games this weekend. So since he arrived on the team, no practices, not even a morning skate. Maybe he was out on the ice for a warm-up, I guess probably. But I wasn't surprised they didn't put him in today for that reason, but I think they will put him in fairly soon. That said, Today was Chris Knobloch's 50th game as coach of the Oilers, and he's had the same six defensemen for all 50 games. I mean, it's amazing the continuing, you know, good health of the entire sextet. You know, he may be reluctant to change that up, but you're going to want to see what Stetcher can do. So they may get a point where somebody gets a night off and Stetcher gets in, but it might be a while because now they have, you know, three games only in the next 9 days after this heavy run.
Yeah.
Up front, I mean, I've been suggesting all along they rotate guys in and out. That didn't really happen. Like Sam Gagner was the odd man out, and he stayed the odd man out for the most part. And now he's out of the picture. And I mean, they have rotated for these since the deadline. Like Carrick got two games, and Brown missed one, and then yesterday Ryan missed, and then today Carrick missed. So they wanted to, you know, keep cycling, but I don't know if there's sort of any one guy you pull out of there. I know there's people out there that say just get Connor Brown out of here and off, you know, off the team. Somebody said, don't let his no goal stink touch Adam Henrique, when I commented that the Oilers had paired him up with Adam Henrique, with the two of them that absolutely ripped up the world championships 3 years ago. And the point is that, of course, they're 3 years older and Connor Brown is recovering from a major injury and is struggling to recover. But putting with a guy that he's had success with before makes sense to me. Especially when he's had no success with any of the guys that have been here all along. So, and I actually like that line today, Kane and Henrique and Brown. I thought they played okay, and I thought Brown was really good on the penalty kill again, with a team leading 3 minutes, 39 seconds on that unit. Couple takeaways, couple shots on net, a hit. I mean, he did it all, David, except put the puck in.
Yeah, that what a chance he had there on Kane's setup, eh? Yeah. Like, wow, how did he not score? Bruce, I like the idea of a rotation. I think they've been trying to play Corey Perry on a second or third line since he's arrived here. It's now been, what, more than 10 games? He is not a second or third line player in the NHL anymore. He's slow. He can still do certain things, though. So Corey Perry... like screen the goalie as he did on Nurse's goal.
Yeah.
He is definitely, I was glad to see him on the fourth line today. You need more speed. If you have Henrique, Brown, and Kane, that is not, or Henrique, Perry, and Kane, that is not enough speed on your third line. It's not even close. So, and I wouldn't be surprised to see Holloway on the third line. I like the top two lines. And I think, McLeod looks good on making plays and skating around fast with Draisaitl. I really like that combination, and I hope they keep it. I think that's the answer. And again, McLeod has earned this. For all the traditionalists, you got to earn it. He has earned it. His level of even strength scoring in the last 2 years is commensurate with the second line winger. Mm-hmm. So play him there. Ryan was great in the playoffs last year. He hasn't been great this year, although he's a key guy on the penalty kill. Brown's a key guy on the penalty kill. I didn't mind Carrick. I didn't get much of a sense of him, but he seems tough and he's not very fast. So that's a bit of an issue, but he seems smart. So you just go with a rotation and who's ever banged up at all, or just rotate them, get a 5-man rotation going with those bottom players. And that'll keep them all uneasy and working hard. Stetcher's got to get in. And the sooner the better. And it's not like CeCe and DeHarnay have been playing like all-stars. They're both struggling a little bit on defense now and then. Get Stetcher in the game. Now, I understand that it's a problem on the penalty kill because both CeCe and DeHarnay rotate. And I don't know. I'd have to look. I don't think Stetcher's a PK guy. So that's probably the one thing holding the coaches back, but you got to do it. You have to see what you have in this player. And CeCe had a better game tonight. He was more solid than he's been. He made some really good plays. So
he did.
Both he and Duharney are holding their own. CC after a weak February has been a little playing better. Duharney's been playing okay after also a weak February. They're both trending up trending up in this latest eight game sequence, but you have this player, get him in the lineup as soon as possible. That's what I'd say.
Agree on Perry. He played 10 minutes and 22 seconds today after playing 14 minutes each in Columbus and Buffalo. And I think 14 minutes is about 3 minutes too many. 11 is just about right for that guy. On the second power play unit, absolutely. You know, that's he's a strength on the second PP unit. And he is, you know, he's 38 years old. You like what he brings, but it's unrealistic to expect him to bring it for 14 or 15 or more minutes in a game. And you want to keep that, to me, you know, 10, 12. Let's put it in that range.
Yeah.
And fourth line, and you know, as a fourth liner, he can hold his own.
All righty. Well, Bruce, let's leave it there. Let's leave it there for today. And we'll be back on Wednesday. Thanks for talking today.
Late Wednesday. You bet. Thanks for listening, everyone.
And in the meantime, and in between times, this has been another edition of the Cult of Hockey podcast.